Welcome to Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott Wolf, Thomas Drantz here with you, coming to you live from the Kintech Studio. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? And you can text in 650-650, the Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and reno warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at dunbarlumber.com. It is a Canucks game day taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. They've had their game day skate. Drantz, you were there. How are you today?
I was. I was very optional. There wasn't much to see in terms of the on-ice activity. Club will play the way they practiced. We'll get into it in the whiteboard. And, of course, the media horde, including Brendan Batchelor, who has a bone to pick with us when he joins us at 12:30.
Yes. Well,
all just you. Wanted to discuss reclining on airlines and various opinions on the matter. I guess there are two types of people in this world. There are people who understand that reclining on an airline makes you a jerk, and jerks. Those are the two types of people.
Fair enough. Yeah. And Brendan Batchelor, apparently, he might fall on the ladder. We'll find out later at 12:30.
Shocking.
Yeah, he's going to join us. Nathan Kanter, play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Giants, at 1:15. We'll talk about what's going on with the G-men. And at 1:30, Dmitry Filipovich, host of the PDO cast, as always, will join us on a Friday to close out the show. But right now, let's get into the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is the whiteboard, your daily deep dive into what's going on with the Vancouver Canucks, and we will start with the biggest lineup note, I think. Thatcher Demko set to back up for the Vancouver Canucks tonight, not getting the start. Kevin Lankinen getting the start once again for the Canucks, but Thatcher Demko ready to back up for the team.
I was too preoccupied in this scrum with getting the tweet out, and I should have followed up, because Demko backing up in his return game is odd. Like, it's interesting to me at the very least. Do you really want, if something were to happen, Chris Levesque style, right? Like, to Kevin Lankinen during the game?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want a goaltender that hasn't participated in NHL competition since late April coming in cold?
That's the weird thing to me. And like, other teams have done this too, where they have a goalie that's ready to come back and they're like, oh, okay, he's going to back up tonight. That doesn't feel better than being like, hey, you're starting, go through your routine.
Yeah.
Be ready to go. Like, if you're healthy enough, you should be starting.
I expected him to get the start. I expected him to be back in this game. He will, in fact, be back in this game, and the team is not starting him. Now, there are two possible reads on this, as I see it. One is positive. One is the club is so confident in his physical readiness that they're not even worried about the possibility that he'd come in cold. That's the most optimistic spin that you can put on this. The other one that, you know, that I sort of come to think of is this game has been one that Demko was going to target to return in. And now that he's ready to return, the club is opting to play Lankinen, coming off a road trip in which he saved their bacon regularly. Right.
And he was a star level performer for them, right?
Yeah. He's been a number one guy. He's performed like a number one guy. He's getting the treatment of a number one guy, even though Demko's ready to return. That's the classic Vancouver media making a mountain out of a potential molehill spin. I don't know the answer. I wish I'd followed up with Tockett. That's on me. I'm gonna tap my chest twice and say my bad. But you know, it is fascinating. Now, Tockett did intimate, and we'll play Tockett audio from optional skate at around 1 p.m. here today. But Tockett did intimate that Demko was a possibility for Sunday, noted that the club will practice on Saturday, and discuss the possibility of Demko making his return against a far more rested and, frankly, far more dangerous Tampa Bay Lightning team, which is interesting in and of itself. Does that change? Does the arithmetic get modified here in the event that Lankinen stands on his head against a Columbus Blue Jackets club that, yes, will be tired, will be playing the second leg of back-to-back teams? But as Tockett noted, as we've been talking about a lot this week, this Blue Jackets team has some pop. They can attack you off the rush. If Lankinen has a really strong game, like, is there a world where they just ride Lankinen?
So I could see it, and the reason I would say as well is because the game after that for the Vancouver Canucks, Tuesday against the St. Louis Blues, and I was talking yesterday about, like, hey, there's not really any scheduling gifts on this homestand for the team. That one, the Blues, it's their final game of a four-game road trip throughout Western Canada. They do have, like, breaks in between, so it's not a back-to-back or anything like that, but it's a maybe a softer landing spot for Thatcher Demko than the Tampa Bay Lightning on the first game of a road trip after 2 days off would be for his first start. It is weird, though, because you looked at this game, the Columbus Blue Jackets, again, third of three and four for them, second half of a back-to-back, and they played last night in Edmonton, lost 6-3. It just felt like this was the softest landing spot, even if you look at the Blue Jackets and you're like, hey, maybe they're more plucky than we might have thought going into this season, they're still not in the same tier as the Tampa Bay Lightning, right? So it's just kind of weird, I guess, is what I would say, and I don't know if I completely understand it. I might get it a little bit more, though, if he backs up tonight and backs up Sunday. Like, to me, him not starting today almost leads me to believe that he's more likely to start Tuesday than he would be Sunday.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting read. I wonder how much it comes down to just individual goalie performance. The thing is we know that Demko has both a higher floor and a higher ceiling than Kevin Lankinen when he's full go. What I think we don't know is how long it's going to take for Demko to get back to, you know, the killer Vezina caliber rhythm goaltender that he's been throughout his career. Like, how long is it going to take for him to shake off the rust? What sort of performance impact is there going to be coming out off of this injury? What sort of workload is he going to be able to hold down, and how deliberately does the club have to ramp up to it? I mean, these are questions that we'll get answers to in due time, to some extent anyway, depending on how private the matter seems to be. But the fact is that the club will show us in their actions exactly what they're up to here. But, you know, given the way that this team is rolling, given what a huge part of this team Lankinen has been to this point, you know, does that in any way influence, to some extent, like, the coach's decision element of, on a game-to-game basis, if you're not, like, if you're 100% confident in Demko's readiness physically, but not necessarily the return to performance aspect, right?
Yeah.
You know, is 80% of Demko versus 100% of Lankinen a decision that the club may come down in favor of Lankinen on at a sort of rate higher than we ever would have expected when we were having this conversation over the last 6 to 8 weeks?
So the other part of this, too, is we've talked about, and I think the team is very aware, that they have struggled on home ice. And Rick Tocchet even mentioned yesterday in his media availability, like, hey, it's kind of in our heads now. And I wonder if they looked at this Blue Jackets game as, it's not a must win, obviously, but it's a game you should win, especially because we mentioned the scheduling leading up to this game for the Blue Jackets. And so maybe you just want to get off to a good start on this homestand. So you look at Lankinen as a guy who you know what he's going to give you, and he's going to give you a really good chance to win tonight. Maybe that's part of it, is getting off to a good start on this homestand too, but we'll see. Thatcher Demko backing up tonight for the Vancouver Canucks. Regardless, good sign in his progression moving forward and his potential return coming soon. It is the start of a 6-game homestand against the Blue Jackets, and then you take on the Lightning, Blues, Panthers, Bruins, Avalanche. We don't know the status of JT Miller. Yesterday, again, in that media availability from Rick Tocchet, he said, hey, there's a plan, and he didn't really elaborate. Frank Saravalli was on Canuck Central yesterday with Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. He said he believes the plan is for JT Miller to practice with the team on Wednesday. So that would be midway through this homestand. 3 games would be done. It would be after that Blues game, ahead of their game against the Florida Panthers. Would be exactly 10 games since JT Miller has been out of the lineup if he did return for that game against Florida. With all that in mind, what do you think are, like, fair expectations, I guess, for the 6-game stretch for the team?
Interesting. The I mean, I think you should be wanting the Canucks to do something like four of six, right? You want them to get something like 8 points in 12, because that's a 666 mark of the devil point percentage, and that's kind of what it's going to take, more or less, to maintain ground in the Pacific Division here, right? I mean, as much as we've talked about the Canucks holding the fort, and we've talked about it endlessly, right? They are 7 points back of Vegas, right? Who have, with three games in hand. So it's a 685 point percentage versus a 625 point percentage. There's work to do to catch Vegas, but by no means is first in the division out of reach with where the Canucks are positioned. And as they get some of these bodies back, as Thatcher Demko ramps up, as JT Miller returns, as Filip Hronek returns in a couple months, right? I think we all think that this team has the ability to reel off 20, 25, 30 games at a 700 point percentage and potentially still win the division. Like, avoid that crunchy Vegas and or Edmonton in the first round.
Yeah.
Sort of matchup that we all expect anyone in second or third to face. The problem with what I've just said, of course, is that they're tied in points with Edmonton, who and have two games in hand, right? So 577 versus 625. So there's work to do to hold off Edmonton, and as much as we're confident that Vancouver can reel off a 25 game stretch at a 700 point percentage, Edmonton might be able to reel off a 40-50 game stretch at 800 point percentage, right? Like,
yeah.
It wouldn't be a shock at all if Edmonton were just to like reel off 45-50 games at like 130 point pace, right? I mean, this is a team that has,
I mean, they did it last year.
We literally see it almost every year. Their ceiling is not visible. Right, their ceiling is open air.
Yeah,
and so you know you definitely don't want to end up in a spot where you're in fourth, where you're in a wild card draw, or where you're, you know, third or second and facing one of Vegas or Edmonton in the first round and have to beat both teams, you know, two of the top probably five or six teams in the league just to advance to the conference final. Like, that's not where you want to be. So I think from that perspective, you know, let's keep our eyes on the prize where this team's ambition is, which is not making the playoffs. It's not like, oh, you know, if they go 500 here, that's fine. No, like if you want to set yourself up realistically to win the cup, you got to win the Pacific. You got to. And so to maintain pace there, I think you're looking at 7 or 8 of 12 points here over the next six.
I think that's fair. It is tough though, because I mean, we just looked at this road trip and the schedule just based on quality of competition was a little lighter than a little bit lighter than the 6-game homestand.
Yeah, I mean, it was Minnesota and a bunch of teams between 20th and 32nd in point percentage.
Exactly. But you look at this one and it's a much more difficult stretch of games for the Canucks moving forward. And I think that plays into it.
But like, the Blue Jackets are dangerous, but they're not good. They're
the
kind of like,
should win tonight.
They're kind of like the Senators. You know what I mean? Plus, they're on the second leg of a back-to-back and the tail end of 3 and 4. Like, this is a game that you got to win. The Lightning obviously are a difficult opponent and one that crushed Vancouver when they faced them on the road earlier this season. The Blues are, you know, very mid.
Yeah, but they new coach bump plays into it too.
Yeah, I guess. But like, I mean, they needed overtime to beat Calgary. Like, you got to be looking at the Blues as a team you're going to beat. The Panthers obviously are class. The Bruins are not.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Avalanche have their own issues. I mean, the Avalanche are not. The Avalanche are super dangerous. Don't get me wrong. They're one of the teams in this league that you have to take very seriously. But I don't think they're the same buzzsaw type juggernaut that we've seen in previous years. So I don't know. Obviously, this is more difficult than your run of Ottawa, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Detroit, etc. But it's not. I mean, this team's going to play a favorable schedule all season long. As much as you want to like talk about January, their schedule gets pretty condensed in January, and there's a run of pretty tough opponents. You know, Washington a couple times, and on and on. You know, that the Jets, the Leafs, that's fair. But fundamentally, the Canucks are going to be playing one of the 10 easiest schedules the rest of the season. And they've played one of the 10 easiest schedules to this point, too. Like, that's the edge of living in the Pacific Division.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I just don't think let's not obsess too much over schedule difficulty. That's not going to hold the Canucks back. It hasn't been a reason for their, you know, success or relative success to this point, and it's not going to be a reason why they're, you know, why they fail or succeed over the balance either.
Onto the broadsheet. So we kind of mentioned the latest on JT Miller. As I said, Daily Faceoff's Frank Saravalli adding a little bit last night, and we'll see, because he said that he thinks the plan is that JT Miller will practice with the Canucks on Wednesday. So again, that would kind of put him potentially in line to play against Florida on Thursday, but who knows if it's a, hey, he practices and then immediately plays the next game situation. So again, that's kind of all foggy and the team hasn't said anything. So we'll see how that develops moving forward. But outside of Vancouver, there was a trade made today. Jacob Trouba traded to the Pacific Division's Anaheim Ducks for Urho Vaakanainen and a conditional 2025 fourth-round pick, the condition being it's the lowest of the Ducks or the Red Wings, heading to New York. So Jacob Trouba traded to Anaheim, no salary retained for the Rangers.
Well, and as part of the broadsheet portion of this, we now have to note that the Rangers have $8 million in salary space.
Whoop. What are they going to do?
Yeah, play the X-Files music. Like, yeah. The truth is out there, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a little over $8 million. And if anything, it's just like, that's fun. It's fun when a team of that caliber, who seems like they're desperate, has a lot of money to play with. And Chris Drury right now seems like he's ready to do something a little freaky. So we'll see what goes on. There was some scuttlebutt about the Rangers maybe potentially checking in on Brady Tkachuk in Ottawa. We've obviously heard scuttlebutt here and there in Vancouver about, hey, maybe the Rangers checked in on JT Miller. So it feels like Chris Drury wants to do something, but this is maybe the first step in that process of him doing something a little bit bigger to add to his team that isn't performing at the level they maybe thought they should be. But we'll get into this a little bit more later with Dmitry Filipovich. By the way, there was word that, hey, maybe Trouba would be on waivers. Obviously didn't get there.
Yeah, we'll unpack this at length later in the show. The one thing I'd say is to get a positive value return out of Trouba, out of trading a contract that's, you know, a real millstone for this year and next for the New York Rangers, to free up this type of flexibility to make significant changes, to get a defenseman still young, right? Still like physical and kind of interesting. He's not a great player, but he's not nothing either. And Vaakanainen, and a draft pick, albeit a conditional one. And to do that on top of getting out of Barkley Gaudreau, I mean, that's...
Yeah, I don't know how this happened.
Yeah.
Like, getting out of this, both this and Gaudreau, is just like, that's great. That's great work from Chris Drury.
Yeah, it's like, for Chris Drury's next trick, he's going to put on a straitjacket, be locked in a cement box with 15 different types of locks, and be dropped into the Hudson and escape. I mean, this is true Houdini stuff from the New York Rangers general manager, and we'll get into a variety of the other talking points stemming from this. Lineup notes, really quick. Wanted note that the Canucks will play the way they ended the Minnesota Wild game, with, of course, Demko backing up as the only change. That's per Rick Tocchet following today's optional morning skate. One alteration, however, is that Maxis Sasson is going to play center on the fourth line, with Atu Ratu bumping out to the wing. Rick Tocchet, describing Ratu's move as something of a hybrid role, noted that Ratu, who is Vancouver's only centerman with a 45% win rate or better in the defensive zone since Miller left the lineup 7 games ago, will still take draws on that line. Just called it a hybrid role for Ratu. So I actually think this is just interesting from a couple of perspectives. One, obviously it's an opportunity for Sasson, but I do think it might tell you a little bit. This organization's been really committed to trying to make it work with Ratu in the middle.
Yeah.
And throughout it, even though his skating stride has improved, I've been a little bit skeptical of Ratu's ability to stay at center long-term in the league because of his foot speed. This seems to be at least an interesting look to see what Ratu can do on the wing. Here's my guess. It's going to be pretty good. I really like how Ratu's skill set profiles along the wall. And then, yeah, the Sasson, let's see Sasson's speed. Pretty interesting, I think. Like, it's a minor tweak, but it's actually a pretty interesting one that speaks volumes about the progress of both players.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Also, Jonathan Lekkerimäki and Cole McWard both sent back down to Abbotsford. So the Canucks are back to accruing cap space, though Filip Hronek is on LTIR.
Yeah, so as we went through this at exhaustive length yesterday, but the Lekkerimäki and McWard were recalled for the purpose of the club optimizing their capture while placing Filip Hronek on LTI and maximizing their flexibility. Difference between being in LTI and being on LTI. Hronek is on LTI, and when McWard and Lekkerimäki are on this roster, the team is also in LTI, but when they send those two gentlemen both down, and perhaps Shelov's in the coming days as well,
yeah,
the club is out of LTI, even though Hronek remains on it, and thus accrue some cap space. Puckpedia, by the way, noted that the club got to within 10K, about an 8K capture on with Lekkerimäki and McWard in the lineup. That's pretty decent. Like, it's solid for an in-season capture.
Not the $1 they've done in the past.
Right. Or like the $3 that the Carolina Hurricanes were able to pull off earlier this year. But it's good. I mean, it's solid work given the challenges of having like $20 million worth of player injuries or absences that you can't play, but that also probably don't want to put on LTI given some of the time constraints involved.
So playoff odds, nothing's changed. The Canucks are, as you said yesterday, they're going to make the playoffs, above 95% for according to Dom's model over at the Athletic. So that's the playoff odds for the team. Betting odds for the Canucks taking on the Blue Jackets. Do you have them?
I do. The Canucks are minus 225 favorites. So that's actually gone down. The Columbus line has moved a little bit over the course of the day, really since we did the show yesterday. So Columbus getting a little bit more respect, perhaps coming off of, you know, the game that they played that was lopsided in Edmonton last night, right? Also allowed them to, you know, sort of somewhat restrain the minutes that some of their key players played. For example, Werenski not over 25. But yeah, Columbus plus 185 road dogs. Canucks minus 225 home favorites. Over under is set at 6 with steam on the over. People are expecting goals tonight. So if you're going to Rogers Arena, first of all, good luck with the traffic.
Yeah, have fun. There's some road closures to be aware of.
Yeah, check the road closures and be prepared. You know, leave early, take public transit, make appropriate sort of plans to get there. It's going to be a fun night of offense and also a fun night of lots of people in glittery outfits. Yes. In and around the arena.
Okay. So, by the way, I have some betting odds on
you should see Drance right now.
Yeah. Well, so I went to the Mariners versus the Blue Jays game afternooner the day that Taylor Swift performed for the Eras Tour down at Lumen Field. And walking out with this like sea of blue, right? Because it's all the Blue Jays fans, you know, from Western Canada down to cheer on the team. It was obviously a disappointing loss because it's the Blue Jays. And it was like being in this sea of blue and then converging outside the stadium with this sea of glitter was just like very, very funny.
Yes. Yeah. So that'll probably happen tonight as well. I did want to pass along. So Play Now, they have some specials, Taylor Swift specials. If you're interested in that, to give you some tips, this is passed on from Mrs. Elliot Wolf, who I promise is like insider level on Taylor Swift knowledge. Just a few things I would keep an eye on if you're looking to be invested in everything Taylor Swift related. There's Play Lover with a pink guitar. That's at 2.0 on Play Now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm told that's a pretty good bet. Also, wear gold and black bodysuit during Reputation. Told that's a pretty good bet too.
And what are the odds on that?
It's also 2.0. If you're looking for something a little more long, they have the special song section for those that aren't aware. She plays like random songs at certain points that she doesn't play at other concerts and kind of rotates through them. To be honest, I don't really know how it works. But I was told that one of the Christmassy songs is "Tis the Damn Season," and it is close to Christmas, her last concerts before Christmas. I was told it's a good bet that might be happening. That's at 6.5.
Okay.
So
how
there
about
you
the
go.
Odds for DJ Tom Fleming to play all Taylor Swift all night?
Ooh, I doubt it. No way.
Yeah,
they You know what's amazing, though, is how much Chaperone is played in every stadium I've seen a game in since the summer.
Yeah. It's actually every time, like, unbelievable. Every time coming out of break, it's like H-O-T-T-O-G.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I never would have expected to be in hockey arenas covering hockey and have Pink Pony Club just blaring out over the speakers.
It's kind of
good. It's a good song. It's a good song.
It. I mean, it's fun to sing, but I'm just saying it feels, you know, it's like, where's my dad rock?
Yeah.
What happened to my dad rock? This couldn't fit on the soundtrack.
Times have changed.
This couldn't fit on the soundtrack of an EA NHL title. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Well, too bad.
I need 80% Nickelback.
80% Nickelback. That's what DJ Tom Fleming is bringing tonight.
If you dip below 80% Nickelback, it doesn't feel like hockey.
I disagree. Anyway, let's hit a break. On the other side, Brendan Batchelor, play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Canucks here on Sportsnet 650, is going to join us. It is Canucks Talk. Josh Elliott, Wolf, Thomas Drantz on Sportsnet 650.